It's Tuesday, May 21st, and we're going to have hopefully three quick work sessions and then an informational meeting on senior disability mental health and addictions work group. So I would like to open a work session on House Bill 2092. Sandy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 2092 had a public hearing on the 9th of May. It requires the Oregon Health Authority to establish and administer injury and violence prevention program to continuously appropriate monies received by gift, grant, or donation to the authority for the purpose of administering the program. This has an emergency clause effective on passage. You have an A4 amendment in front of you that specifies that the Oregon Health Authority may not require a hospital to report data for a database from any new programs. And it is a consensus amendment, Madam Chair. We have a no fiscal impact on the dash four and a no revenue impact on the dash four.
And colleagues, remember the hospital was opposed to this bill. And basically, I called public health and I haven't talked with the hospitals, but I would like to have a nod that they're okay with the dash four. Basically, what the bill will now do is increase the visibility of the violence prevention. The injury and violence prevention program. And but we understand about no more data.
Patty's not in your head.
You're fine.
The hospitals are not in their head.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move the dash four amendment to House Bill 2092.
Okay. Senator Cruz moves the dash four amendments into Senate Bill 2092. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 2092 as amended by the dash four amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2092 as amended to the floor with
94.
Amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Cruz will carry the bill, and I will close the work session on House Bill 2092 and open a work session on House Bill 2132.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2132A had a public hearing last week, the 16th, directs the Board of Directors of the Oregon Health Insurance Exchange Corporation, otherwise known as Cover Oregon, to report to the Legislative Assembly and certain other parties on efforts being made to coordinate eligibility, determination, and enrollment processes for qualified health plans and state medical assistance program, declares an emergency effective on passage. This bill has the dash A4 amendments, which requires Cover Oregon and the Oregon Health Authority to report quarterly to the Legislative Assembly. It adds the July 1, 2017 sunset date for Cover Oregon's reporting requirement to be aligned with the OHA's reporting requirement. And you may recall that's what we received in testimony, is that the amendment was to keep OHA and the exchange on the same timelines.
Okay. I know that Oregon Primary Care is okay with this. John Hummel's there. Cover Oregon is not in their head. They're okay with this amendment. Brian Niebert, OHA, is okay with this amendment.
Well, we don't care what Brian thinks.
We're going to pretend
that was a joke. That was a joke. Madam Chair, I move the dash A4 amendment to House Bill 2132.
Senator Cruz moves the dash A4s into House Bill 2132. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2132 as amended by the dash A4 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2132 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Oh, clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. And Senator Knope, would you carry this bill?
Sure.
Thank you. I don't ask you very often, you know.
You don't.
I will close the work session on House Bill 2132 and open a work session on House Bill 3345. Sandy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3345A had a public hearing on the 13th of May. You'll recall this provides for the regulation of persons that engage in the recovery or distribution of anatomical material from donors for research or education purposes other than transplanting anatomical material or therapy. Continuously appropriates money to the health authority for purposes of the act, declares an emergency effective on passage. You have before you the dash A11 amendments, which exempts laboratories that conduct research and lab work for hospitals from the bill. There's minimal fiscal impact on the A11s and no revenue impact.
Okay, we have a nod from Hasina Squires that the A11s are okay, and Wally Ordman from the funeral homes, he's okay, and Steve Wells from BioGift is okay. Okay.
Madam Chair, I move the dash A11 amendment into House Bill 3345.
Senator Cruz moves the dash A11 amendments into House Bill 3345. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3345A as amended by the dash A11 amendments to the Senate floor to be passed recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 3345 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries, and I'd like to carry this bill because these two groups are in my district. So I will close the work session on House Bill 3345, and I would like to open an informational meeting on the presentation on the legislative work group on senior disability, mental health, and addictions, and Jim Davis.
This is the first time I've heard about it.
There was emails in your office as well, so check on it.
And Jim, I want to thank you so much for putting all of the time that you did into this. I want to thank you so much because I have read the report and still haven't decided exactly what we can do with it, but I don't want it to just sit on a shelf. But I'd like the committee to at least hear. It might foster some discussion.
Well, thank you, Senator. I really appreciate that. And frankly, I was going to thank you so very much because without you, this legislative work group on senior and disability, mental health, and addictions would have never happened. And so you gave us what we needed to be.
Say your name.
I'm Jim Davis, representing United Seniors, Oregon State Council for Retired Citizens, Parkinson's Resources, and the Alliance for Retired Americans. But anyway, yes, we really thank you so very, very much. And we thank the committee for having sponsored this effort. Kind of a very unique effort. We had been trying for probably 10-plus years after our state projects, senior and disability mental health projects, had gone the way of the recession of 2001, we started working towards developing some kind of task force to deal with this problem. And it was in 2011, Senator, that you gave us that opportunity by forming this work group. And so the work group began meeting a year ago, last spring. We met for a year and continued to have monthly meetings and came up with the recommendations before you, and also the review of literature, which is probably one of the most comprehensive reviews of literature that we've had in this area in a long, long time. So it is my honor today to present this to you. I do, in addition to thanking the Senate Committee and Senator, of course, for her wonderful leadership on this. I do want to point you to our executive summary, and ultimately we'll be pointing to the final report. But in the executive summary, you'll see listed on page 4 the members of the task force that was chaired by myself and Senator Mona Sanderson. You can see John Bartholomew, Rick of Alzheimer's Association and the Governor's Commission, Rick Bennett from AARP and the Campaign for Oregon Seniors and People with Disabilities, Peggy Bray and Nicole Armstrong from O4AD, Leah Kraft from Addictions and Mental Health Division and the Oregon Health Authority, John Dundepth, June Depth from Disability Rights Oregon, Representative Bill Kenemer, who was a very active participant, Jim McConnell, of course, with the United Seniors and the Oregon State Council, John Mullen with the Oregon Law Center, Bill Olson with the Advocacy Coalition for Seniors and People with Disabilities, Dale Penn, the Oregon Healthcare Association, Anna Potter with the Office of Long-Term Care Ombudsman, Dave Schneider with the Parkinson's Resources of Oregon, Jane Ellen Wydens and Nathan Singer with the Aging and People with Disabilities, and Steve Weiss with the United Seniors and the State Council. And we just want to thank them. We want to thank our research assistants, Jane O'Brien and Glenna Wilder from Merrill Hirsch University, that did a tremendous job, literally hundreds of pages of research that allowed us to get the review of literature that we have before you today. We do present you with this final report, and you can see from the table of contents there's far more than I will be able to present to you today, but it does give a little bit of history and a discussion of some of our past efforts with projects that we've done, some of the statute in our very famous Section 410 of Senior and Disability Services. There's a section that specifically deals with senior mental health and disability mental health and addictions. The first time disability mental health and addictions has been dealt with to any significant extent in the law. And so this group came together and we began to look at what is a very serious problem. Right now, both seniors and people with disability face more life adjustments, more problems from everything from, you know, physical health problems to relationship problems to problems with caregiving, depression, sleep disturbances, you know, other kind of mental health difficulties. They face them at much higher levels than other populations. But our system has not responded well to this. And the point that we're going to try to make today is the fact that with the high level of concern for mental health and addiction problems amongst this population, we still have very little response in the system, providing very little, if any, services to seniors and people with disabilities. Right now, the rate of community mental health probably easily under 2%. And a lot of the percentage we're seeing in the system right now are the severely mentally ill who just are getting older. And what we're finding is the severely mentally ill are living to old age a little more than they had in the past. But the system is not necessarily reaching out to the senior and disability population who have very, very high levels of needs. And of course, with the boomer population coming in, all of that need will double. And we have a very, very high level of concern for that. We placed in this report not only emphasis on alcohol, which is a major problem amongst seniors and will be amongst boomers as well, but we also placed a lot of emphasis around prescription drugs. Right now, seniors are taking about a third of all prescription drugs, and we're figuring that there is a strong level of addiction and difficulties, misuse and abuse. There's more and more data that's coming out. We've provided you with a lot of the most recent data in this report, and you know it should be interesting to you to begin to see, you know, some of what's really going on in this area. But very, very high levels of hospitalization and problems due to prescription drug misuse and abuse among these two populations. So you have high levels of depression, anxiety, and other mental health problems you have high levels of alcohol and prescription drug abuse, and now with the boomers coming in, you'll see a little more of an increase in street drugs, other type of difficulties around that level, and you're already seeing it amongst the boomers. Now, because of the very great lack of response, what we're seeing is very high levels of suicide among seniors. In Oregon, some of the higher levels of suicide in the country are happening in Oregon. So a very interesting study I would point you to from DHS that has looked at this. And so we're seeing some real problems. Amongst older vets, it's a really major problem. And if you look at all the suicides amongst vets, half of the suicides are older vets 60 plus. Half of all the veteran suicides are older vets. So you have a very serious problem. Where are the seniors turning? They're usually turning to their primary care doctors. And their primary care doctors are wonderful and help them in many ways, but usually can't, from our studies, we're seeing they can't recognize mental health problems. They're seeing probably half of their elder patients are having mental health problems, and they can't recognize them. They're recognizing maybe 25%, and then they don't know where to refer them. And oftentimes, there's nowhere to refer them. And so part of our recommendations are around services that would be provided to seniors at an earlier or mid-level stages within the senior and disability service system, but also looking at how to respond to the severely mentally ill. And the severely mentally ill seniors are kind of coming through the system and then kind of landing in long-term care. And the long-term care staff don't know how to deal with them. And so we need to adequately deal with the elder severely mentally ill, but at the same time try to provide prevention that keeps the other elders from falling into mental health problems and difficulties. So some of the recommendations you're going to see, there's 11 major areas, 8 pages of recommendations, a lot of sub-recommendations, and I'm glad to go over in more detail, but I'm not going to burden you with that until you want it. But we do have a lot of recommendations around services that we would be provided within the senior and disability service system, APD and DHS, more with the earlier and mid-level, and then with the Oregon Health Authority, more with the severely mentally ill. We've also made recommendations around how to handle seniors and people with disabilities with addiction problems, particularly with prescription drugs. And we've talked also about geriatric training, you know, going into the medical schools and starting to train doctors in geriatrics and disability, starting to train social workers and nurses and dentists, and doing more in the regular colleges, having more continuing education around elders and their mental health and addiction problems. We've talked about enhancement of gatekeeper programs, greater support from family care providers, and of course, greater support of our volunteer service network and greater support of elder veterans. So you're going to see within this report some very extensive recommendations in all these areas, an 18-page review of literature, which I hope you'll take the time to read. We did extensive research on both sides, but I regret to say that there's very little research on people with disabilities. Every time we researched it, it came right back to elders. And so we did the best we could from anecdotal and other research that we had, but that was an area that was lacking, and there was nothing that we could do about that. So anyway, some very extensive work here and very extensive recommendations. We've asked for one thing from this legislature, and you'll see it in a budget note that Jim McConnell has drafted and done a great job with. What we're asking of this legislature is simply to have DHS and the Oregon Health Authority review our recommendations and report back to the legislature on what they plan to do with those recommendations. You, actually, Senator Mo Sanderson, inspired us to do this. And so that's all we're asking this session, is just some kind of a budget note that says they need, at least need to be accountable for responding to these recommendations on how we could work together. But in the meantime, we plan to start meeting with legislative leadership, and we also plan to start meeting with some of the key healthcare, senior disability leaders and bureaucrats in the state, and began to develop strategies. We're going to form a coalition, a senior disability coalition, to deal with this issue. And I just see this, we're going to take, this is going to take years to finally do what we need to do, but we plan to work it through stage by stage and from the grassroots, and to organize as best we can to make sure this happens. And so we'll really be back to see you in 2015, hopefully with some really good recommendations. One final thing I would like to say, there's a wonderful thing in, that Senate President Courtney did in Senate Bill 823. It puts a geriatric mental health specialist in every community mental health program in the state. This is one of our recommendations. We would love to see a geriatric mental health specialist in every community mental health center, and it would help further our work so incredibly if that can stay in that bill and be funded. So we really strongly recommend you to do two things, to fund 823 and that small little piece there. It mostly deals with kids and other adults, and then to please pass this budget note or support our budget note to make this a strategic and important process to look to the future, to begin to finally have a service and supports response for mentally ill elders and people with disabilities. So thank you very much for supporting this. It was a great effort, and we so appreciate you guys having supported us.
That's great. Have you, in Ways and Means, talked about this at all?
Not specifically, Madam Chair. We've had some conversations about around a range of addictions and mental health issues, not with a specific focus on seniors and people with disabilities. We've had other conversations about seniors and people with disabilities, but not with a focus on addictions and mental health. So we've talked about both subjects, but not the very specific thing that Professor Davis is talking to us about. So no, is a net answer. And obviously this has come up as part of the discussions about Senate Bill 823 as well.
And we do have a bill, the Ombudsman bill also, and I forget the number. I'm looking in the back. What number is that?
626.
Senate Bill 626, and I can't remember. Is that in Ways and Means also?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that was focused on, well, seniors and disabilities and ombudsman programs. So that is also something that could help this. Would you like to come up and make a comment at all?
I don't think I need to.
Okay, all right, thank you.
She was part of our group, of course.
I know. Senator active. Shields and then Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jim, I just wanted to get this on your radar screen if it's not there already. I was very interested in the literature review on primary care. But one thing that you all should be aware of is that it's very difficult for nurse practitioners to do primary care with the Medicare population because of CMS restrictions on their ability to refer to assisted living facilities and provide the full scope of care. So they've got to go into a financial relationship with the physician. The experience that I've seen with some nurse practitioners is they're just, it's too complicated for them to do that. So I think one of the things that jumps out on your recommendation is that, I mean, to do an adequate mental health and substance abuse diagnoses in a primary care visit requires more time, and to the degree that you all are at least aware that that's a challenge in getting nurse practitioners to take Medicare patients. It's definitely a federal problem, not a state problem, obviously, because it's Medicare, but it's just something that I hope will be on your group's radar screen.
Well, yeah, Senator, thank you for bringing that up. And that is a very serious concern, and we're well aware of that. Actually, a lot of our recommendations are at a far more basic level, really, of going at the very beginning when they're being trained to have some kind of basic training around elders on how to care for elders, how to deal with elders, how to respond to the system, how to understand what the system is. But, yeah, we understand that there's some definite problems in that area that need to be dealt with.
Senator Cruz?
Yeah, I'm going to go off subject just a little bit, but Jim, because addiction is clearly part of the issue, I'm going to be forming a work group in the interim to look at addiction from the perspective of, are there better ways to be delivering those services and better modalities than some of the traditional 40-year-old? Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you had, and with a full understanding that the senior population is slightly different than teenagers. Okay.
Really?
Okay. I know it's hard to believe, Senator, but it is. And so if you would have somebody that you might recommend to be part of my work group, that would be very helpful.
Yes, and maybe myself.
That would be fine, too. That would be fine, too.
That would be really cool, but we can definitely work with you on that.
Madam Chair, this is something when I was at the National Governors Association little thing on prescription drug abuse in Colorado, it was kind of brought to my attention that treatment hasn't changed in 40 years, and we keep throwing more money at it, and maybe we should be looking at the structure of it as well. So I want to kind of take a really hard look at that, kind of probably pointing towards 15 for proposals, but it's going to take us a fair amount of time to get all of the pieces together there. So you're more than welcome to be part of it.
Well, you're right. Interestingly, Senator Cruz, that nothing has much changed in 40 years. I wrote my dissertation on this topic about community mental health and their response to seniors, and wrote my first state plan in the late 70s on this subject. And let me tell you, I think it's actually gotten worse since then. I think there's less response to seniors now in the mental health system than there was even back then. So yes, you're right. This is a serious problem. We've done very little to respond to this population, and we need to, especially with them doubling, with the, you and I, us boomers coming in. Yeah, it's a very serious difficulty.
Sure. One request I need, can you send, I'm sure I have it, but can you send this electronically to Sandy?
Oh, the final report?
Yeah.
And we want to send it to all the legislators, as a matter of fact. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Send it to Sandy so we make sure that it gets into the OLA system.
Cool. Okay. That'd be very cool. I would like to be able to have Jim McConnell say a few things, if we could.
Jim McConnell. I'm a member of board member of the Oregon State Council of Retired Seniors, of Retired Citizens, and a board member of United Seniors. I retired about 10 years ago. I was director of aging and disability services for Multnomah County. I did that job for 22 years, and I've seen tremendous development in the Oregon system in terms of allowing people to stay in their own homes for as long as possible. The biggest problem that we ran into was dealing with mental health and addiction issues. Many people could do their own activities of daily living, but would not because they had these mental, emotional addiction problems. And in long-term care today, they're looking at a major growth, a big bulge coming in with the boomers, and we still haven't addressed the mental health issues. So I want to applaud Chair Mona's Anderson and the committee and Jim Davis for taking a leadership role in this and identifying that geriatric specialization in the field of mental health and addiction services is almost non-existent in the systems. And I know there's no new money, and we're not asking for that, but we're simply wanting to get this issue on the radar screen and make sure that it stays there. And one way to do it is to ask the people who are now responsible for mental health services in the state to start tracking and measuring what the need is, and to be able to have the skills to identify that the mental health problems or the addiction problems are exacerbated by the fact of either aging or other long-term care-related issues. So I urge you to keep this on the radar screen, even though there's no new money to do much into
Thank
the future.
Thank you. Well, what I plan to do is actually contact Aaron Kelly Seal of Department of Human Services and ask her who was the appropriate person to take a look at this and make recommendations. Yes, Senator Steiner-Hayward.
I think the other thing to bear in mind, Madam Chair and gentlemen, is that we have Senate Bill 21, which is the new, the big task force on long-term care that Senator Cruz and I are both closely interested in, and that's going to be coming, and this is certainly part of that question. And then we have Senate Bill 450, which is the task force that I've been working on, which is a cross-agency, multidisciplinary, how do we streamline and coordinate services for people getting safety net services task force. It looks as if it'll also pass this year. And these are exactly the kinds of populations who need that kind of very well-coordinated, cross-disciplinary support. Maybe they need housing because they're not in safe housing because of their addictions or their mental health issues or their disabilities. Maybe they need a combination of primary care and mental health and substance abuse treatment and housing and nutrition support, and they don't have the capacity to navigate through a complex system where they're having to work through multiple caseworkers and things like that. And that's what the Senate Bill 450 task force is going to be looking at. And there's clearly an overlap between that this work and the Senate Bill 21 and Senate Bill 450 task forces, and to some extent the House bill that I never can remember.
2712.
Thank you, John. 2712, which is the General Assistance Task Force that we're going to be looking at as well. So it'll be very helpful to us to bear in mind. And I'm actually going to request, Jim, that you circle with my office to you know, put your name on the list of long list of people who are going to help us with Senate Bill 450.
You bet.
Thank you very much.
Because we do have a very complex system. I just had our administrator say, now who's in charge of what? And Pam Grant is with Addiction and Mental Health, which is under Bruce Goldberg, OHA, and then Developmental Disabilities and Elders is in DHS, which is under Aaron Kelly Seal. And so there's obviously some cross-pollination that needs to be done between the two entities to make sure that we can address these issues. Yes.
Well, Madam Chair, that's what the task forces that the Senator Steiner-Hayward mentioned, that we when we created them, we made sure that there was connections between the two.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I actually have asked Senator Bates and Representative Nathanson to schedule all three of those task forces to be bills to be heard on the same day concurrently, so that we'll have an opportunity to show the and I'll just bring this example up, if I may, as a clear example of why these task forces are going to be so important. So.
Well, it seems like years ago we did all that.
Well, I'm so glad you reminded me about Senate Bill 450, Senate Bill 21, and House Bill 2112, because they're all sort of very much related in a certain sense, and this report that came from the Legislative Work Group on Senior and Disability Mental Health and Addictions definitely should be a part of that, so that what a lot of work was done on this and certainly can be very useful in some of those task work groups. Okay.
Well, that's very good. And actually, 823, you know, with the senior mental health programs, you know, having a geriatric mental health specialist.
And but the ombudsman, Senate Bill 66.
The ombudsman. Oh, we love the ombudsman. Anything we can do to support them. One final comment I'd like to make. You know, for years, our efforts to form a task force were defeated because there was always a fiscal attached, the $80,000, $100,000, or whatever, and we kept saying, we'll do this for nothing. We'll get interested people together, and we will create recommendations just off our own energy. And I just want to say that that's exactly what we did. We didn't spend a penny. Everything was donated, volunteer time, pro bono time from the state, and we completed this without spending a penny of taxpayer dollars. So these kind of task force can be done without a lot of expenditure of monies. And thank you so much for supporting this.
Well, it was so frustrating because we were in the throes of an economic recession at that point in time. And so there was no way, but this was important work. And I'm just thankful that all of the members of this task force did commit their time. And you did a yeoman's work.
Thank you so much.
All right. Any other comments? Thank you so much for giving us an update. And these are the important people to have this information. And we're not going to let it just sit on a
cool
shelf.
Come see me.
I'll come visit you.
All right.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
All right. I will close the informational hearing. And we will be meeting Thursday, and again, just a few bills. And then on Monday, we just have a couple of bills.
We have nothing on Monday.
Oh, that's right. Monday, we will not be here. And then Tuesday, we just have a couple of bills. And
minor little things.
And hopefully, there will be no bills for Thursday, so we may not have committee on Thursday. It just depends on carryover and paperwork if it's ready.
Cool.
All right. Thank you. We're adjourned.
Thanks.